Praise the Lord, everybody. 103rd Psalm says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases. Thankful to know there's no sickness He cannot heal, no disease that He cannot cure, no problem that He cannot fix, no addiction that He cannot break, no sin He cannot forgive, no soul He cannot save." Oh, we love the Lord today, and it is truly an honor and privilege to be back in Orange Park. We love all of you so very much. We are so grateful for our church family. And I'm so appreciative of all the prayers that you send our way, even when we are not here in body. But we are here in spirit. And so we are thankful to see what God is doing in this church and in this city. Amen. We love and appreciate Pastor Sister Thompson. Anybody love your pastor? Anybody? We love Pastor Sister Thompson. Give honor to all the ministry that is here today. We are so sincerely grateful for you. So happy to see our friends from Calvary and North Carolina in the house of the Lord with us. I'm so thankful for my family, my beautiful wife and precious baby boy. And as a little bonus, my mom and dad are in the house of the Lord. Get to worship with them. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to open to the book of St. John, the 21st chapter. St. John chapter 21. And we're going to read verse number 25. Just one verse of scripture this morning. St. John chapter 21 and verse number 25. Give you just a moment to find your place. And the Bible tells us this. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." There's so many miracles that Jesus did that the author of our text said the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And with the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to preach to us on this subject, the Lord's limitless library. The Lord's limitless library. Why don't you lift your hands? Would you lift your voice? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we give you praise on today. We are asking for you to anoint your word. Let it do what it was designed to do. Let your word minister to every heart. Let it illuminate every mind. Let it speak to every soul. In Jesus' mighty and all-powerful name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing with me. Well, it becomes very obvious and apparent in the scriptures that God is a meticulous record keeper. There is absolutely nothing that goes unseen, unnoticed, or unobserved. It was the Proverbs, the 15th chapter, and the 3rd verse. It says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." This God that we serve, He is all wise. He is all powerful. He is all sufficient. And He is all knowing. And when you consider that astronomers estimate that there are over 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, and then furthermore, that there are an estimated 100 billion other galaxies, it's hard to come to terms with those mind-boggling numbers. But perhaps what is more staggering than that is what the 147th Psalm says in the fourth verse. It says that God telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. Great is the Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And if we would go by the rate of naming every star in 1 second increments, then you have to assume that it took 317 trillion, 97 billion, 919 million, 837,000, and 645 years just to name the stars. Huh? If he named every star in just a second, then we have to, I'm going to say it one more time. It would take 317 trillion, 97 billion, 919 million, 837,000, 645 years just to name the stars. It's no wonder that we can say that the Lord's library, it is immeasurable, it is incomprehensible, it is unfathomable, and it is unlimited. Oh, we are offered just a brief glimpse at the end of the Old Testament, at the very close of the book of Malachi. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, it says that a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. Every time you think on the name of the Lord, it is logged into the library of the Lord's. Every time you even let it cross your thought process, even every time it's in your subconscious that you think about the Lord, it is cataloged in heaven, and God is taking record of what is happening. And to make matters even better is in the 17th verse, God said, and they shall be mine. Can I preach to somebody today that he sees the sparrow when it falls? He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. He knows what's going on in your mind. How wonderful it is to know how powerful this God really is. He's in a class all by himself. There is no man. There is no ruler. There is no emperor. There is no dictator. There is no official. There is no president. There is no politician. There is no celebrity that can compare to the power that our God had. But even more sobering is what Jesus said in Matthew, the 12th chapter, in the 36th verse. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account thereof in the day of judgment. In other words, every word that is spoken, God is listening. Every word that is said, every phrase that comes out of my mouth, we have to assume that without question, the Lord is attentive. The Lord is listening. The Lord is aware of what is going on every moment of every single solitary day. We have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God does not zone out. God does not fall asleep. God is not caught off guard regardless of what is happening in our lives. Can I let somebody know this morning, you may be wandering in a wilderness of worry. You may be discouraged in a desert of doubt, but God knows where you are. God knows what you need. He is still ordering your footsteps. He is still orchestrating your future. Even in desert places. See, it was in Mark, the 6th chapter, that we find Jesus teaching. And while he is teaching, multitudes and multitudes of people come to hear what he has to say. And as the moments turn into hours, the disciples get a little bothered. They become worried of what is happening. And they come to where Jesus is. And they tell him this in Mark the 6th chapter in the 35th verse. They said, Jesus, this is a desert place. You need to send these people away. They're going to become hungry. They're going to become famished. There's nothing that we can offer them where we are at. Send them away. That way they can put something in their body and they could be replenished and restored. And so when they told Jesus this, the Lord just paused for a moment and then instructed the disciples. He said, well, what do you have? What kind of money can we purchase? And they said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, we don't have much money. And that's what every preacher is going to say to you. Well, you don't got much money. You went it for the money. You got into the wrong profession. The disciples said, Jesus, if we don't got the kind of resources to feed 5,000 people, they are going to be sincerely let down and disappointed. We've only got probably 200 penny worth to buy, and that will not even be close enough to feed a group of this size. So then Jesus, you could see the disciples trying to scrounge up any food that they could find. And Jesus asked again, he said, well, what do you have? They replied back with the infamous response. And they said, Jesus, we have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And I'm just going to let you know, if you're trying to feed 5,000 and all you have is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that's a buffet that's going to be closed down in a hurry. And that's dangerous to open up a buffet and not able to feed everybody in the house. Especially you start talking about church folk and sanctified people, then the buffet runs out of food. You got a problem on your hand. We've only got 5 loaves of bread. We only have 2 fish. We don't have what it takes. See, their vision was being handicapped by what they currently had. They couldn't see what God was doing because they were so focused on what they had. Their possessions, their purpose was being predicated by what they were holding in their hands. And Jesus then makes further instruction. In verse number 39, the Bible says that he commands them to sit the people down in groups of 50 and 100. He commands them to sit down on the green grass. Now, before we get into the multiplication of the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish, let's back up for a moment and remember what the disciples told Jesus at the beginning of the story. They told Jesus, this is a desert place. Desert places are barren. Desert places are desolate. Desert places are not growing with grass. If you've ever taken a trip to the desert, the only grass you're liable to see is brown grass, withered up grass, and dried up grass. But the Bible is so emphatic, it tells us that he told them to sit down on the green grass. Something was happening and they didn't even realize it. The atmosphere was changing and they couldn't even recognize. It was being transformed from a desert place to a place of refreshment. And sometimes in life, we think we are walking down the same steps. We assume we're in the same location. We just estimate that we are where we've always been. But oh no, there's a miracle happening right before your eyes. It's turning into green grass. Then Jesus takes this bread, he takes these two fish, and he looks up to heaven and begins to pray and begins to multiply. And when all is said and done, over 5,000 people were fed. And then, to make matters even better, 12 baskets full of leftovers were taken up. Not only does he have the power to help me and to help you and to help us, he has so much. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, that he can supply the need, he can perform the miracle, and then he's got leftovers for whosoever's still hungry. He's got leftovers. There's a library of the Lord. There's a library of the miraculous. There's a library of those that have been touched by His Spirit. Do we really understand what Jesus did when He came to this earth? Do we really fully comprehend the sacrifice that He made so that you and I would know who He is? When Jesus came, He was announced by the angels. When He came, He was born in Bethlehem. When He came, He was seen by the shepherds. He was worshipped by the wise men. He was hated by Herod. He was persecuted by the politicians. He was rejected by the religious. He was slandered by the scribes. He was misunderstood by the masses. He was mocked by the mob. He was forsaken by his friends. He was cuffed like a criminal. He was crucified on Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But he has a library that's greater than any obstacle, that's greater than any adversity. He has all power in heaven and in earth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Heaven is his throne. Earth is his footstool. And his glory is forever. He has a library you can draw from. See, it was just that chapter previously before, in Mark chapter 5. We find Jesus surrounded by another group, and the man makes his way to where the Savior is. And this man brings a request and a petition. He says, "Lord, I need you to come to my house. My daughter is sick, sick to the point that unless you come, I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel." Jairus was his name. He said, "Please, Jesus, you've got to come and pray for my daughter." So, along with the disciples, Jesus is making his way to Jairus' house. And Brother Byers got up a few minutes earlier and exhorted. And Ashley leaned over and I looked to her and I said, "He's going to preach my message before I can get to it." That woman with the issue of blood heard Jesus was coming by. You know the story. Sick for 12 years. Spent all of her money on doctors. But didn't get better. She got worse. And if you've ever gotten sick, you will know it doesn't take long to spend all your money at the hospital. Oh, come on, somebody. Just take a few little trips to the ER. It'll drain your savings. And if you've been sick for 12 years, in and out of doctor's appointments, in and out of specialists, you'll understand real fast, all your money is gone. She has nothing left, depleted all of her resources, and now she hears that Jesus was coming by. And so she determines in her heart and decides in her mind, "I'm going to get to where Jesus is." And she pushes her way through this crowd, maneuvers her way through this multitude, and reaches out and touches the hem of his garment. And the moment she touches the hem of his garment, something happens. Something changes in her body. Jesus turns and says, "Somebody just touched me." And after he tells the woman that she's not just healed, she's been made whole. I can hear the praises of the people as they just seen a miracle right before their eyes. I can see this woman rejoicing because God has just healed her. And while that is happening, while this woman is literally thanking God for the miracle, somebody comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, it's too late. Jairus' daughter is dead. You missed your chance. Sometimes in life we can have that same mindset. You're too late, Lord. I'm in too big of a mess. You're too late, Lord. The disease has progressed too far. You're too late, Lord. My finances are in such a chaotic state they can never be recovered. I can only imagine what Jesus responded with as he literally, she is still within arm's reach of the woman that just got healed. And somebody said, Jesus, don't even bother coming. It's done too late. She just literally reached up and touched him and got what she needed. And Jesus turned to those men and said, no, we going to Jairus' house. And together they come to this house. And when they arrive, the friends were already there. The rulers of the synagogue were already present. And when Jesus makes his way towards this house, he asks, where can I go in? I need to pray for this young girl. And he's met without resounding negativity again. Jesus, I don't know what kind of prayer you want to pray, but this little girl's already dead. She's already went out into eternity. I don't think there's any worthwhile effort in you making a prayer. And Jesus said, no. This little girl, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And this is what the response came from in the Bible. It says in Mark chapter 5, and towards the end of this chapter, it says that they laughed him to scorn. Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel. I don't like to be laughed at too much. Now, if there's a joke, I can get on with that. If I do something foolish, I can get on with that. And every once in a while, I trip on over my own 2 feet, and I know what it's like. And I can ride with that ride for a little while. But I'm going to tell you, when somebody starts laughing, and it's not a joke, when somebody starts laughing at you, and it's not because something's funny, but they're laughing at you because they are mocking you. They are laughing at you to hurt your feelings. They are laughing at you to manipulate your mind. They are laughing at you to distress your emotions. That's a whole different kind of laughing. And when Jesus said, this damsel, she's not dead, she's just alive, they got to laughing. And then, notice what Jesus does next. He goes into this house and he says, all right, I want you to get everybody out. You know what he was doing? He was changing the atmosphere. You know what Jesus was doing? He said, it's time to get rid of the unbelief. It's time to get rid of the disbelief. It's time to get rid of the non-belief. Get all the negativity out. Get all the naysayers out. Get all the ones that really don't believe, get them out. Then he makes his way to where this girl is laying, surrounded just by a few individuals. And he grabs this girl by the hand. And when he takes her hand and puts it in his, he just says one little phrase. He says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And just as sure as those words came out of his mouth, that little girl's eyes opened. She sat up in her bed and she stood up on her own 2 feet. I wish I could have been there when Jesus walked out of the house with the little girl in his hand. Hey, can I preach to somebody today? Do you know when they quit laughing? They quit laughing when the dead start rising. Do you know when they quit laughing? You know when the unbelievers quit laughing. You know when the haters quit laughing. You know when the naysayers quit laughing. When the blind start seeing and the deaf start hearing. You know when they quit laughing, when the addicts start being delivered. Do you know when they quit laughing, when the empty hearts are filled? Do you know when they quit laughing, when lives are changed and destinies are altered? Look around today. You are surrounded by a library that is limitless from the Lord. The person you are sitting beside, the one that's behind you, they're not here by accident. They're not here by coincidence. They're not here by happenstance. You know why we are here? Because there is a library of souls that have been saved. There's a library of those that were bound up and they got set free. You are surrounded by those that were addicted, that were struggling, that were down. But God in His infinite mercy, He reached His arms of love down to when I was sinking in sin. He reached down His arms of grace when I was suffering, when I was struggling, and He gave me a new chance, gave me a new day, gave me a new life. Hey, and if you want another testimony, if you want to read more of the library, you can read for days on end. John said the books can never fill up this earth with stories that have been told. You know what God does? He make bitter water sweet. You know what He does? He makes iron float. Do you know what else He does? He makes the rain fire from heaven. He can make the sun stand still. He can make the sun go backwards. He can make donkeys talk. He can make walls fall. He can steal storms. You know what He can do? He can shut a lion's mouth. He can bring water out of a rock. He can turn water into wine. He can turn water into blood. You know what He can do? He can split the Red Sea. He can divide the Jordan River. He can cure the crippled. He can deliver the demoniac. He can strengthen the saints. He can annihilate the adversary. He can horrify hell. I'm going to tell you what He can do. He can fill you with the Holy Ghost. He can wash away your sins. You know what He can do? He can fix your marriage. He can save your children. Do you know what He can do? He can answer your prayer. He can move on your behalf. Somebody throw your hands in the air for a moment and let us shout a praise unto the Lord. Woo! Somebody give Him a shout of praise. Somebody lift up your voice. There's deliverance in the house. There's salvation in the house. There's healing in the house. Hey, as we stand all across the sanctuary, standing all across the sanctuary, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, with nobody looking around. Friend of mine, God knows where you are. God knows the battles that you fought. He knows the pain that you've carried. He knows the tears that you've cried. And He even knows the thoughts that have went through your mind when you've laid your head on the pillow at night. Friend of mine, He's here to help you. He's here to save you and deliver you and strengthen you. You are not alone. You are not by yourself. There is a library in heaven. Woo! There's a library in heaven of souls that have been touched, souls that have been saved, souls that have been changed. And He loves you when you're unlovable. He cares for you when nobody cares. He believes in you in your lowest moment. You don't have to wait one more day. You don't have to live one more moment struggling by yourself. Every head bowed, every eye closed, every heart open to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand in the gap and we rebuke the devourer. We take authority over the prince and the power of the air. We say, devil, you're a liar. Satan, you are defeated. I pray that somebody can make a decision. Somebody could come to an altar and find what they really need. Oh, Lord, I'm praying you would draw souls right now. God, I'm asking for brave souls that would step out of where they're standing and come down to an altar. Friend of mine, why don't you come right now? Some have already come. Why don't you join me at the altar? God knows where you are. You're not by yourself. You're not by yourself. He's already changing the atmosphere. You may not have even realized it during the sermon, but the atmosphere was changing. The atmosphere was changing. Come on, sir. Come on, ma'am. You need help? The helper is here. You need healing? The healer is here. Come on, somebody else, would you like to come and pray? It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come on, God's talking to you. God's speaking to you right now. Why don't you come? Come on, prayer warriors. Come on, intercessors. Come on, altar workers. He cares for you. He cares for you. He's a caring Christ. He's a compassionate Christ. He's a considerate Christ. One more time. Why don't you come right now? Come on, from the front to the back, from the left to the right, the Lord is here. God is reaching. God is reaching. Why don't you come? Hallelujah.